You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Tonight is the final game in January for the Sacramento Kings, and they have a good chance to enter the month of February over 500 for the first time in, God, I don't know how long. Kings, Hawks tonight inside the Golden 1 Center. Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Locked On Kings podcast. This is your daily hub for Sacramento Kings coverage each and every single weekday. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here on your daily hub for Sacramento Kings coverage. If you're looking for highlights, in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, interviews, player audio, we have it all right here for you. I'm from Sports 1140 KHDK. That's the flagship radio station of the Kings in Sacramento. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and reporter. I will be at the Golden 1 Center tonight. Hopefully, I will see many of you out there. I'm expecting a big crowd piling in to watch their Kings. They are back for the first time in six games. The last time, this was the date, the last time the Kings played a home game. It was January 14th. Today is the 30th. Quick math on that. That is 16 days without watching Kings basketball here in downtown Sacramento. So I'm sure Many fans are anxious to just get back and to see the Kings play in person. Disappointing road trip for the most part, going 2-4, but they are still at 500 through 50 games, and with a meeting tonight with the Atlanta Hawks, great opportunity for this team to enter February over 500 and try and get this this homestand off to a good start. We're going to be talking about this six-game homestand a little bit today. Obviously, we'll discuss and preview the Kings and Atlanta Hawks in just a minute. I'm going to share with you some news in regards to the Sacramento Kings and the Rising Stars Challenge. I'm sure you've already seen it, but got to bring it here to the platform. And I'm also going to discuss really briefly something that I brought up at the end of yesterday's podcast, which is Anthony Davis trade value and whether or not the Kings should be involved and why, essentially, the Kings shouldn't be concerned with trying to put together a package for Anthony Davis himself. So we're going to try and fit all of this in on today's podcast, and we will start with the Rising Stars Challenge news. The Sacramento Kings, we expected them to have decent representation during All-Star Weekend. They have pretty massive representation during All-Star Weekend. On the Rising Stars Challenge Friday night, the Kings have three players competing in the Rising Stars Challenge. That is more than any other team. On Team USA, De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley will be taking the floor for Team USA, coached by Kyrie Irving, which we just found out that would be the case. And on Team World, Bogdan Bogdanovic. He was last year's Rising Stars MVP, so he's looking to build off of that. He will be paired up with Luka Doncic. Also, we'll have DeAndre Ayton on his team. That team is going to be coached by Dirk Nowitzki, which is pretty awesome. So Dirk Nowitzki coaching Team World, Kyrie Irving coaching Team USA, and here are the full rosters. For Team USA, it's Jarrett Allen, Marvin Bagley III, Lonzo Ball, John Collins, De'Aaron Fox, Jaren Jackson Jr., Kyle Kuzma, Donovan Mitchell, Jason Tatum, and Trae Young. On Team World, it's OG Anunoby, DeAndre Ayton, Bogdan Bogdanovic, Luka Doncic, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, we have Lauri Markkanen, Josh Okogie, Seti Osman, and Ben Simmons. That is the Team World roster. So let me know, which team do you like? Which team are you picking to win? Last year, Team World dominated, and it wasn't close. And with names like Ben Simmons, Bogdan Bogdanovic, they had Buddy Hield last year also. I was not surprised to see Team World dominate. But this year, I like Team USA. De'Aaron Fox was snubbed last year. He gets the representation that he deserves this year. Kyle Kuzma, Mitchell, Tatum, there's just so much talent on Team USA. That is the team that I am picking to win this year's Rising Stars Challenge. Not that winning matters, but it'll be fun to see these two go at it. I'm looking forward to those fun opportunities where you'll see teammate go against teammates. So we're going to see Bogdan Bogdanovic against De'Aaron Fox probably on some sets. It'll be interesting to see Bogdan Bogdanovic and Marvin Bagley going against one another. Of course, we're going to see the opportunity to see Luka Doncic and Marvin Bagley go at each other for the first time. Again, it's all playground. It's all fun. It doesn't mean anything, but it's still going to be a fun thing to follow. That game is at 9 o'clock Eastern time on Friday, February 15th, so that's 6 o'clock our time. I'll definitely be in my seat ready to watch that and follow along with that. Again, I'm picking Team USA to win, so let me know what team you think will be winning the Rising Stars Challenge, Team USA or Team World. You can let me know on Twitter, at MattGeorgeKHDK. You can also email me at any time, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. The Kings should win this game here tonight in the Golden 1 Center. They should be heading into February with a 26-25 overall record. This is the second meeting between these two teams. The first meeting was absolutely dominated by your Sacramento Kings. They won 146-115. Remember, it was the first career triple-double for De'Aaron Fox. He had 31 points, 15 assists, 10 rebounds in 34 minutes. He was absolutely dominant, and the Atlanta Hawks just did not have an answer for these Kings. I'm expecting more of the same here tonight. Now, I think the Hawks will be better than what they showed, and the Kings offensively were lights out in this game. We know that they've been struggling a little bit more offensively recently, but the Kings shot 54% from the field in this win in Atlanta. They also shot 40%, 14 for 35 from three-point range. So we'll have to see if they can pick the offense up a little bit. And that's what I'm really looking forward to about this game the most, is now that you're home, you made it through the six-game road trip, maybe didn't get the record that you wanted, but now you're home, you've been having these specific set of issues on the side of the ball that you're normally the best at, which is offense. Figure it out, and a game like a game against a team like the Atlanta Hawks is exactly where you want to do it. The Kings should win this game. Now, normally I'm pretty hesitant to say the Kings should beat anybody, because the Kings quite honestly haven't earned the right to say that they're better than too many teams in the NBA, right? Even if they have a better record than, let's say, the Dallas Mavericks, or even if they have a better record than, let's say, the Minnesota Timberwolves, it's not always guaranteed that they should win the game, depending on if they're home, at home or on the road. But the Atlanta Hawks, this team, is one of the teams, one of the few teams this year that I can say definitively the Kings should beat this team. And they're going to need to get off to a good start on this homestand, because barring tonight's game, it gets pretty difficult. Now, they do end the homestand with a somewhat decent schedule, but after this game against Atlanta, they have three really tough games in the Golden 1 Center. They have on Saturday the Philadelphia 76ers, the Process coming into town, which would be fun to watch, San Antonio Spurs coming in on February 4th, and the Houston Rockets coming in on February 6th. The Kings have had a lot of trouble with the Rockets in recent years, so those three games following this Atlanta game, it's a real good chance that the Kings could drop below 500. So you need to build as much of a safety net as you can right now. Get your work done ahead of time against the Eastern Conference, something that we've talked about and has been a theme for this season really for the last like 6 to 8 months on this podcast. We've been talking about against the Eastern Conference, get your work done early. And that's what the Kings need to do tonight against the Atlanta Hawks. Following these two games, or those three games, rather, they end their homestand with Miami and Phoenix, two very winnable games there. So good opportunity for the Kings to go 3-3 through this road or this homestand. That would be probably bare minimum of what they expect from themselves. I know they're expecting to go 4-2 or maybe even 5-1, especially against that San Antonio Spurs team, a Spurs team that's also hovering in the playoff conversation. That's a game that you want to try and go out and get to make some room up in the standings. If we're looking at this Kings team from the perspective of they are going to make the playoffs and they need to start approaching every game like they're going to make the playoffs, beating teams like San Antonio and Houston to make up ground is extremely important. They failed to do that. And have failed to do that three times now against the Los Angeles Clippers. So you got to do it in other ways. You got to start closing the gap between you and the guys that are ahead of you. San Antonio and Houston are right there. And then you look at the Miami and Phoenix games, the Atlanta game tonight. These are just make-up ground games as well. Games that you shouldn't be dropping too many points in or too many places in the standings when you're taking on Eastern Conference opponents when you're in a very tough Western Conference race. Now, I'm not saying the Kings specifically, but if you're looking through the perspective of how am I going to make the playoffs in the West, you need to beat the teams in the East, and you need to beat and be competitive against the teams ahead of you. So that's the perspective that I'm looking at. That being said, 4-2 would be magnificent for the Kings in this six-game homestand, because following that, they're back on the road for four games, and they are four tough games at Denver, at Golden State, at Oklahoma City, at Minnesota. This is probably their second toughest stretch of the season that they have coming up. You remember the 13-game stretch of doom that the Kings had earlier. They managed to go 500 and stay 500 through all of that. This is probably their second hardest stretch of the season. If they can be at or above 500 at the end of this stretch heading into March when the schedule gets significantly more favorable, I think they have a shot at the postseason. But this is a bad time, really, for the Kings to be struggling offensively. The trade deadline and the All-Star break is also going to be in the middle of this stretch, so changes could be coming and changes could be made. But we'll really see, I guess, the stamina and how much fight and grit this Kings team has and how much they want to make the playoffs. We will see that, and we will get our answer for that in these next 6 to 10 games of this 6-game homestand and those 4 games on the road. But it begins with tonight's contest. De'Aaron Fox, triple-double against this team last time. Want to build upon that. You also look at the good individual performances, the other good individual performances for the Kings in that win against the Atlanta Hawks. 27 for Buddy Hield. You got 19 points from Nemanja Bjelica. He's looking to continue to try and bounce back from his struggles early on. Marvin Bagley had a solid 18 points and 5 rebounds in Atlanta, so I'm looking for big stuff from Bagley tonight. And then you look at the other side of the ball. Things to be aware of and look out for from the Atlanta Hawks. Well, of course, Trae Young, the rookie sensation, he'll put up shots from anywhere on the floor. He went 6 of 13 against the Kings for 14 points, but he's someone, obviously, I'm excited to watch tonight in the Golden 1 Center, because you know if he's on his side of the court where his basket is, there's a good chance it's going up, and it's going to be a fun battle to see Trae Young and De'Aaron Fox go at it. But I'm nervous about Kent Bazemore. He has the ability to space the floor and can shoot. He's also athletic, can attack the rim, and we know how much the Kings' perimeter defense has struggled. So Trae Young and Kent Bazemore, they have the opportunity and the ability to take over the game on the perimeter if the Kings' perimeter defense is not sound. That's where I'm really looking for the key for a Kings win in this game. Even if those two have a strong night and you contain pretty much anybody else, you're still going to have a chance to win the game. But if you're able to contain that backcourt like they did in Atlanta, we saw the result. The Kings can win by 20, 30 points on this team. I'm not predicting that for tonight, but that should be the goal. Contain that backcourt, you win that game. It'd also be cool to see Vince Carter. He started for the Hawks in this game. I don't know if he's going to be starting tonight, but it'll be cool to see him back. I'm sure he'll get a warm reception from Kings fans, so that'll be very, very cool to see. I talked about it yesterday on the podcast. The trade deadline is one of my absolute favorite times of the year. The drama of the trade deadline in the NBA is unlike anything else. And you can expect some blockbusters, some fireworks, some big moves, things that'll have dramatic implications for the months to come. We'll have fallout from this trade deadline happening next summer, and maybe even in the following trade deadline, as there are some decent names that are available that have about a year left on their contract, and some teams might be willing to take a risk to try and bring them in and do what Oklahoma City did with Paul George, right? They brought him in, and they were very aware that he could leave for the Los Angeles Lakers, which everybody thought he was going to do. They showed enough and convinced him to sign and stay in Oklahoma City, so they won on that, but that's a very big risk to take. The other side of the spectrum is what happened to the New Orleans Pelicans. Now, a pretty different situation, pretty different scenario, but remember, they traded their pick and Buddy Hield to the Sacramento Kings. Anybody think that they won't want to take that trade back right now? They did get DeMarcus Cousins out of it, and DeMarcus and Anthony Davis last season were playing very, very well together, and who knows how deep in the playoffs they would have gone had the two stayed together and stayed healthy. I don't blame the Pelicans for DeMarcus Cousins getting that injury, but ultimately, he ends up signing with the Warriors, and they traded Buddy Hield in their pick for nothing. They got nothing out of it, and now they're losing their superstar in Anthony Davis. So it's a very tough position for New Orleans to be in, a very tough position for New Orleans fans, but the writing, I think, was on the wall for them, and now with Anthony saying that he wants out and Anthony Davis's camp saying, trade me, I'm not going to re-sign here after my contract expires at the end of next season, their path is pretty clear. Now it's up to them to try and figure out what is the best package that we can get back that sets us up for rebuild but puts us in a decent position to give us a core of something to restart and something to build around. And there's a lot of different scenarios being thrown out there. The two biggest teams connected to Anthony Davis right now are the Los Angeles Lakers and the Boston Celtics. So you're looking at different trade packages and things between these two teams that the Pelicans can look at. One trade that's out there and scenario that's out there, we've heard the Lakers are willing to move on from Kuzma, Ingram, and Ball in order to get Anthony Davis. So would the Pelicans be off to a good start on their rebuild, bringing in a pair or all three of those guys if they're able to? That's certainly an option there. Those are three very talented young players that haven't really developed all that much in Los Angeles because the LA Lakers aren't really a good squad at developing talent. They more buy their talent, and that's not a slight on LA. That's just how they do their business. That's how they've always done their business. Now, Kobe, how much did Kobe really develop there, or how much did he just become Kobe Bryant and be the natural talent that God graced him with? So the Los Angeles Lakers are more than happy to move on from their draft picks and then their young homegrown talent in order to open up cap space to buy names. And that's what they're going to probably be doing this summer, and that's what they're trying to do here with Anthony Davis. The other option is the Boston Celtics, and we know they already have a lot of names on their roster. They're trying to do the best they can to convince Kyrie Irving to stick around. Remember, they traded Isaiah Thomas and a draft pick in order to get Kyrie, and it hasn't paid off completely for them right now. They've been disappointed with how Gordon Hayward's been playing. Granted, Gordon Hayward is coming off of a pretty significant injury, and who knows how that can change your career. So things aren't as good in Boston as they expect to be, and certainly as I expected to be when I saw that they acquired Hayward and they got Kyrie in the draft. I was thinking, man, this is a, or sorry, they got Kyrie in the trade. I was thinking, man, this team is going to be a championship contender. They haven't gotten there yet, so they're thinking maybe Anthony Davis is the missing piece. They also have a couple of really good young players in Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and they have draft picks galore. So would it be more interesting and enticing for the Pelicans to get either one of those guys, either Tatum and Brown, and a pick or a lottery pick or two? I mean, it just depends on what kind of path they're willing to go on. Now, the reason why I'm bringing all this up, you're probably wondering, why are you talking about the Pelicans, the Boston Celtics, and the Los Angeles Lakers on a Locked On Kings podcast, is because I'm giving you very specific scenarios of what is realistic in terms of conversations for Anthony Davis. And now we transition into what is not realistic. Here's one thing that we should expect. Every team in the NBA, all 29 teams, should be and probably are calling the New Orleans Pelicans to put feelers out there and just find out what his value is and what they could potentially do and how they could potentially get them on their team. That being said, probably 25 to 26 of those teams that are calling know full well when they're picking up the phone that they have no shot in hell, but they're just doing their duty. The Sacramento Kings are one of those teams. I'm sure Vlade and the Kings front office have tried to get in contact with New Orleans to say, hey, we like Anthony Davis, obviously. He's a star player. What are you valuing him at in terms of looking at our roster? What would you want? Here's my response to all of that, because I'm getting a lot of tweets and a lot of texts and a lot of people saying, you know, Anthony Davis is a franchise changer. Of course you would want him on the Kings. And I'm not diminishing Anthony Davis's value because I think he's a phenomenal player. I'm happy that he's been able to stay healthy for the most part. And I think wherever he goes, he's going to be fantastic. Would I love to have Anthony Davis on the Sacramento Kings? Absolutely, I would. But not at the cost of the majority of the core and the plan that you have been following for the last year and a half. I am going to continue to hammer this rusty nail into the ground. The Kings are on a plan, and they have been on a plan since trading DeMarcus Cousins, and it's been the first plan that they've been on in years. And it's no coincidence that by following that plan, the Kings are in their best spot that they've been in years. Now, Anthony Davis is a quick fix. If you added Anthony Davis to this roster and took away, let's say, one good young player and a couple role players, even though that's unrealistic. The Pelicans would want more than just one good young player. So let's say the Kings traded Marvin Bagley and a couple role players. Actually, let's say Marvin Bagley and Bogdan Bogdanovic and Zach Randolph or Willie Cauley-Stein for Anthony Davis. Are the Kings better? Probably. I mean, you have Anthony Davis on your squad, assuming he stays healthy. I don't know if the Kings make the playoffs, but they're better. And they're going to be fun to watch. And now you have a big name superstar in Sacramento that's going to sell tickets, and it's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. except now you're risking basically everything that you've put together in order to try and woo Anthony Davis. And now I am the ultimate optimist, and I've always said that. And, you know, I joke about, and I've been labeled the blind optimist before, and I kind of joke with it and I have fun with it, but I've always liked to consider myself a realistic optimist. And realistically, as much as I love this city, as much as I love this fan base, I do believe this is the best fan base in all of sports. That is not high on Anthony Davis's wish list and interest list. Now, fan support may be pretty high up there because he's coming from a New Orleans franchise that has god-awful fan support. But, Anthony Davis wants to win rings, and he wants to win rings as immediately as he possibly can. He is now officially in the prime of his career. He's not looking at a young team to come in and to take over that young team and to have a statue built in his name outside the Golden 1 Center, but still struggle to make his way through the Thunder, the Lakers, the Warriors, the Rockets, the Spurs. If he goes to the Kings, he still has to work his way through all the juggernauts of the Western Conference. And the reason why I'm speaking about this in the immediate, right? In the next year, he and the Kings would need to be championship contenders for them to have a realistic shot of getting him to stick around. And that is just unrealistic. I love De'Aaron Fox. I love this roster. You put Anthony Davis with this Kings roster, he's not winning championships yet. I mean, maybe 3 years from now, if Anthony Davis came to the Kings with they had a developed Marvin Bagley and a developed De'Aaron Fox and a maybe fully capped out Buddy Hield, maybe then we're talking about a team that can compete for the championships. In fact, I think they could compete for the championship. But if the Kings bring Anthony Davis in, they have to look at things through basically a one-year window. You're talking about from one trade deadline to the next trade deadline. Because if things aren't better or things aren't fantastic by the next trade deadline, you have to make the serious decision that the Pelicans are having to make this year and that a lot of teams are having to make this year. Is Anthony Davis worth the risk of us losing him in free agency, or should we trade and try and get something for him right now? I just think it's a bad idea in general for the Kings to even consider trying to bring Anthony Davis in and consider mortgaging all of their pieces. And I hope fans understand that the value in what the Kings are doing is lost by trying to put a Band-Aid and a quick fix over everything. If you keep with the patience, you keep with the time, you keep with this young core development, you get what the Warriors have gotten. Now, I'm not guaranteeing that this Kings core can be what the Warriors are, but remember, the Warriors started with developing Curry and Thompson and Draymond. And then they added Durant, and then they added Iguodala. Well, that's out of order. They added Iguodala, then they added Durant, then they just kept getting players, then they added DeMarcus, then they won championships, blah, champ, 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 champ. But it started with developing a young core and adding to it. This young core is not nearly developed enough to add to it yet, nor is it a good idea to add to it by getting rid of some of it. Does that make sense? I'm kind of blabbing and going around in circles trying to make it clear, but the only way the Kings should be involved in the Anthony Davis sweepstakes is if a third team is needed, and maybe the Kings could try and sneak their way into getting a pick out of it or getting a good young player out of it. I talked about my dream scenario of if the Lakers and Pelicans decide to try and make a deal to send Anthony Davis to the Los Angeles Lakers, is there a way the Kings could be the third team, take a bad contract, and somehow get Brandon Ingram out of it? I mean, that's the best case scenario that I can come up with for a three-team trade, but that's the only way I see the Kings being involved in trade discussions at all. I have absolutely no issue with the Kings staying out of it, and I have no issue with the Kings staying put, sitting on their hands, and not doing anything at the trade deadline if there wasn't anything there for them to do that made sense with the overall plan. I would rather, and I tweeted this out, I'd rather the Kings not do anything then trade for Marc Gasol, because it doesn't work, it doesn't fit. Now, Jason Anderson, who was on the podcast with me yesterday, tweeted out also yesterday towards the end of the day that he's not hearing that there's any really interest or anything to the Kings rumored wanting or trying to trade for Marc Gasol. So that's good news. I like the Kings sticking to their plan. I like Vlade recognizing where they are, what they're trying to do, and how putting a Band-Aid over it or mortgaging some of that bright future for a quick fix right now does nothing for you when you're still just competing for an 8th seed or a 7th seed and you've got 3 to 4 juggernauts still ahead of you. It just doesn't make sense. I hope that makes sense to all of you the way that I put it out there. That's my thought process through all of that, and that's ultimately how I hope the Kings are handling the entire situation. I will see you at the Golden 1 Center tonight if you're going to the game. I'll be at the top of section 105, 106, I believe, which is the media area right in the corner behind the visitor bench on the concourse. So I will see you up there. If you want to come by and say hi, please do. Would love to chat with you at any point during the game. If you're coming to the game and you want to set up a time to meet me or anything like that, find out where I am or have me try and find you, let me know. Tweet me at MattGeorgeKHDK. You can also email me, mgeorgesacklocalmedia.com. I love meeting each and every single one of you, and I relish the opportunity to meet you in person and shake your hand and thank you for listening to the podcast here today. We'll come back tomorrow and break down this Kings, hopefully Kings win over the Atlanta Hawks. It's safe to say I'll be extremely disappointed if we come on the podcast tomorrow. We're talking about a Kings loss, but I expect them to get the job done tonight. I believe they will get the job done tonight, and it'll be good to have Kings basketball back in Sacktown this evening. Have yourself a fantastic night. Enjoy the game, whether you're watching it from home, listening to it on the radio, or at the arena. You can follow along with me on Twitter at any time, and I will speak with you tomorrow. This has been the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.